Welcome to another telehealth podcast. I'm your host, Mike Patterson, and today I have the pleasure of introducing to you all Dr. Colin Banas. He's the Vice President of Clinical Product Solutions for Dr. First. And you know, before we get started, Dr. Banas, I learned a new word looking at your website, looking at the Dr. First website. It's healthyverse. But I won't steal your thunder. I'll let you get into it. So why don't we jump in and tell us a little bit about yourself and Dr. First, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So once again, thank you for having me, Mike. As you mentioned, my name's Colin. I am an internal medicine physician, hospitalist. I have been in informatics for close to 20 years now. And in fact, prior to my role at Dr. First, almost a year and a half ago, I was the chief medical information officer for a large academic health system for over a decade in Richmond, Virginia. I decided to figure out what's next in my journey and made the switch to the vendor side, where I have helped Dr. First drive innovation, strategy, and product development. And it's very much uniting the healthyverse, if you will. So when we talk about the healthyverse, we talk about all of the aspects of care and care coordination that are necessary for quality outcomes and patient and provider satisfaction, really the quadruple aim. And we like to think that we are taking bites out of the things that are invisible or the things that are blind spots for providers and patients, bringing them to the light and weaving them and stitching them together. And when we talk about uniting the healthyverse, that's really what we're talking about, uniting providers and patients and even payers all together in this sort of nice little ecosystem so that we can achieve the quadruple aim.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm looking at the definition of healthyverse, and this might be important because it appears that Dr. First has a comprehensive solution. And so the definition of healthyverse from your website is an interconnected healthcare universe where information silos are shattered and where all stakeholders aspire to a higher purpose. Hence, improving patient care. I'll mention that, and then I saw where you have a featured product, Backline for Telehealth. So since this is a telehealth podcast.
So I think it would be useful to talk a little bit about the history of Dr. First. So yes. We like to consider ourselves a 20-year-old startup, believe it or not. So for 20 years, we've been in the healthcare space, innovating and breaking down these silos, if you will. And what started as a e-prescribing company, again, over 20 years ago, over time added additional features and functions and started to unite different players in the healthcare journey. And so e-prescribing gave way to e-prescribing of controlled substances, gave way to a more accurate medication history, so that things like medication reconciliation or medication adherence could be more visible and improved outcomes for providers and patients. There are consulting services that we can provide that help, again, with the implementation of these things. And then fast forward to about 5-6 years ago, we started a secure communications platform called Backline. And it was really intended to help be that plumbing or that underpinning for care coordination. And what started as secure communication, meaning let's get rid of pagers, let's get rid of non-secure SMS texting, quickly iterated to include things like file exchange, e-signatures, interactive forms. And as that progressed over time, and as we got more and more input from patients and from providers, we also decided to layer on video. And literally, we were going to have our big reveal in HIMSS 2020 this year. So in early March, we were going to reveal our video platform as part of our Backline solution. And of course, we all know that COVID hit, HIMSS got canceled, and all of a sudden video became a necessity for the ecosystem. And so if, you know, it was a little bit of serendipity, I hate to use that word in relation to the coronavirus, but that's kind of how we got here, was 5 years in this space of secure communication and collaboration. And really, video visit is just another iteration on it. And it, in fact, I would argue that making that video connection is the easy part. It's all of the things that have to happen around the patient journey and around patient care that have become a little bit trickier.
You guys do have a comprehensive solution. And, you know, our listeners are everyone from single providers to IT folks to large healthcare systems and everyone in between. Who is your target audience? Who is your customer?
Yes.
Everyone. Next question.
So no, that is a great question. So we do have, we have providers using our solutions at every level, whether they're independent practitioners all the way up to major IDNs. Our solutions have major integrations with the big EMR vendors, the Epics, the Cerners, the Allscripts, the Meditechs. But we also have integrations with some of the smaller, you know, if you want to say independent EMR solutions out there. We also have moved into the space, and I think this makes us somewhat unique. We have noticed that there is an opportunity to break down those silos and to bridge the gaps for healthcare providers that are often, I don't want to say forgotten, but they're not front and center. And so we've had success bringing our solutions to EMS providers, nursing homes, rehab facilities, care coordination, durable medical equipment, things that are, you know, outside of what people traditionally think of, which is, oh, how do I get into the hospital or how do I get into the to that clinic and help that provider out, to really how can we unite everybody who has a piece of the care. And really, in the 2000s, we've been talking about team-based care for quite some time. And it's time to empower every member of the team with a robust solution set.
And in this time of COVID, you know, when you mentioned EMS and skilled nursing, can you give us an example of implementation or how these folks would be brought into the fold, if you will?
Sure, sure. So for EMS, for example, we there's a grant in the state of Maryland to help provide our backline solution to EMS providers. And the way it works is this, and there's really two things that I love about this. One, EMS providers, when they're communicating back to the receiving emergency department, you know, a lot of them are still using radio. And there's actually things that you can and cannot reveal over radio because it is radio. So there is PHI and limitations. And so I know for a fact in my former organization that when there were trauma patients coming in or when there were sort of critical situations and they're coming in hot and you can't reveal all of the attributes of the patient, you can't get them registered in your EMR or your registration schedule scheduling system ahead of time. So what happens is, because we need the EMR to do the orders, we need to order the CT scan, we need to have the blood, you know, ready to go, we'll make fake registrations or we'll make temporary registrations. And that's fine, that gets us over an initial hurdle, but that's actually dangerous because at some point you have to unwind and untangle the temporary registration from the real thing. And until you do so, you don't know, you know, that patient could have been in your hospital 1,000 times, but now they have a fictitious trauma name. You don't have access to all that prior history unless you go manually look for it. And so it's dangerous. It also leads to errors in case the untangling process gets botched, if you will. And so there's just a whole lot of reasons to do this right and securely right off the get-go. And so if you can do this thing securely with something like Backline, patient hits the door, they're already registered and it's them and you have access to their full record and you're not going to have to untangle all of these things. The other thing, I guess there's really three things then, because the other thing that something like Backline can do, you can take photos at the scene. You can show, you know, where the car crash was or the impact so that the ED providers actually have a better sense of what happened out there and what to look for in terms of injuries. And those things are secure and they can be brought in and made part of the permanent record if someone so chooses. The third thing, and this is the part that I think is cool, and I think this is a really great example of that Healthyverse, uniting the Healthyverse concept. I mentioned before that we have history in e-prescribing and med history. We have this, you know, robust data set. One of the things that we do for EMS providers is that in the field, using our app, they can take a picture of the back of a driver's license, or they can actually input various attributes from the license if they so choose. That scan of the barcode on the back, that photo, will actually go back and ping our databases and bring back a 6-month medication history for that patient. So in other words, if someone is obtunded, if someone can't give a good history, if someone is, you know, completely out of it or unreliable, we grab your license. Not only do we know who you are and we can do that registration thing I just talked about, but now I'm giving that EMS provider 6 months worth of consolidated medication history. So I can tell that, you know, oh, perhaps the, you know, Viagra is on this patient's med list. Maybe I don't want to give them nitroglycerin because I don't know the potential interactions. Or perhaps there's infectious disease medications on here and that this patient, it widens my differential as an ED provider or as an EMS provider. That's just, you know, it's things that maybe hadn't been thought of before that we can bring to the point of care pretty instantly. And I think it's a great example of ways to improve care.
No, I'm finding it fascinating. And the first thing that popped up in my mind was stroke, telestroke, I think it would be. Now, are you seeing video back to the ambulances from the ED?
You can. So there are a few providers that are doing that. Okay. And yeah, so Backline often gets used for, you mentioned what kinds of hospitals or health systems that are we getting into. There are definitely use cases where smaller hospitals who don't have specialists on site are using Backline to conduct their consultation services, telestroke, televisits, quite honestly, with a consultant who might be back at the mothership. Same thing for ED. You know, you can get a video visit between the EMS provider and whoever's in charge of the ED at that moment, and even provide input back and forth. In fact, I left out sending the EKG strips over and having them looked at ahead of time so that you can activate your cardiology team so you can improve that, you know, stroke, that door to balloon time.
Sure.
You know, those core measures and quality measures like that.
Yeah. Oh, now you have my wheels turning, because the next thing I started thinking about was toxicology and hazmat. And I know we're staying in the ER, the ED arena, but there are possibilities. What about day-to-day non-emergent applications?
So I think I mentioned earlier the idea of replacing pagers. You know, believe it or not, there are pagers still out there. And in the instances where pagers, you know, may have been replaced or may not be utilized as much anymore, people are still using non-approved or non-secure methods of communicating with each other, which drives your chief security officer crazy, because, you know, they imagine it's only a matter of time before they make the headlines. And so, you know, as I mentioned, 5 years ago, it was really meant to get into that space, secure texting. And also linking into EMRs, ADT feeds, and registration systems, so that not only could you do patient and provider communication securely, but you could also load things like on-call schedules. So you could know, well, these are the three providers who are involved with Mrs. Jones's care. I can text all of them at the same time in something that we call patient-centered chat, which is basically all of the members of a care team participating in communication about a patient without the patient being part of it, unless we so choose to bring them in and out of that conversation. So if you're hospitalized, that's your nurse, your doctor, your respiratory therapist, your social work, all part of a patient-centered chat. And when we hook into scheduling and registration systems, we can assign roles. We know who those people are. And so we can do a lot of that in an automated fashion.
Gotcha. I'm assuming it would be difficult to talk pricing. So how does that work? Would you go into a facility, a hospital system, or wherever your customer, and assess use cases or need? You assess the need and what they're trying to accomplish and try to solve their problems? How would you do that?
It's traditionally a pretty consistent pricing model. It's per provider per year, and it's okay. Extremely competitive. There are exceptions to this. If you're a large IDN and we want to go for like, you know, all you can eat model, depending on who's going to be using the video portion and who might just be using the texting portion, there is a little bit of nuance to that. But for the most part, it is extremely competitively priced. In fact, you know, quite frankly, it's on the low end, and it's including all of those extras that a lot of other solutions try to, what I call, nickel and dime you for. So you might get the free version or the really low cost version out of the gate, but if you want group chat or group video, that's extra. If you want HD quality video, that's extra. Certain vendors take a cut off of each visit or a proportion of the minutes. There's all sorts of various ways that people are doing this, and we just try to keep it simple. We just try to keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. Hey, no, that makes sense to me. I like it. What about, and you'd mentioned EKG and things like that. So do peripherals marry into your product, or is it whatever?
Yeah, so it's one of the things that we are rapidly working toward, because I think that is, as you've pointed out, I think that is the future, or at least a big piece of the future. And so what I'll say is that we haven't done it yet, but we're going to be doing it soon. And we have a pretty rich history of successes using APIs to do these things. So I mentioned all of the other core EMRs that we've been able to hook into. We're using that same talent, whether it's HL7, Smart on Fire, brute force, you know, interface, whatever it takes for now, because, you know, this is my personal opinion. We've thought that Smart on Fire was going to solve interoperability in the ecosystem of apps. And we've been saying it for like 5 years now. And it there's a little taste of it out there, but it still hasn't happened. And so until that happens, you know, our users need this sort of integration interoperability. So you know what, we're going to brute force it for you. And if Smart on Fire matures to that point where it can be more ubiquitous, then we'll go back and we'll redo it. But we can't keep waiting. So that's one thing. The other thing, I mentioned that we have this, you know, 20 year history of a product line. One of our products is called Huddle. And in fact, anybody can go out to the App Store, Android or iOS, and go look up Dr. First Huddle. And what that is a patient application that allows you to link to your various portals and also to upload patient reported data. You can even take pictures of pieces of paper. You know, God forbid it's 2020, but there is still paper out there. The photos of the paper, the photos of the paper actually become PDFs. It's really slick, actually. I invite all of you to try it. And now you are empowering patients to take control of their data, their wearable data, their steps, their glucose, their blood pressure. And not only that, when you control it as the patient, you can also decide where that data goes. So you can give people access to certain portions of it, or you can make it a payload that you're sending back to a provider. And eventually, and I say very soon, eventually the providers will be able to ingest that stuff more easily. Probably because they're gonna be forced to, either by consumerism or even by regulatory mandate.
What about support? I'm assuming you have 24/7 support or eight.
We do. So it's a fairly large company, you know, 400 plus employees, three base offices, two in Maryland and one in Arizona. Actually, the headquarters is in Rockville, Maryland. Me, myself, I still live in Richmond, Virginia, and so it's actually pretty convenient to run up to the core office if I have to. But of course, for the last 4 or 5 months, we've all been working from home and making the best of it. It is considered an essential service in Maryland. So there are members of our team who have been going in every day to make sure that they are supporting patients and providers, keeping the servers running. There is 24/7 tech support, you know, online or on phone. And actually, I would argue that's one of the differentiators from some of the smaller solutions out there. there are definitely 9-to-5 companies out there where if you are conducting something at night and you run into trouble, you're kind of out of luck. And that's definitely not the case with us.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. Because my next question was going to be why your company over someone else. And I think you just answered that.
Well, to me, it's a couple things. It's competitive pricing. It's the extras are not nickel and dimed to you. But more than that, to me, it's that 20-year history of operating in the healthcare space, of having these relationships with payers, with pharma, with providers, with different EMRs, so that when the industry starts to pivot, and it's starting to pivot quickly in a variety of places, you've got a company who can pivot with that. We can iterate quickly. Heck, we can fail, but we can fail forward. And I think that's increasingly necessary in this era.
Agreed. So could you give us a little insight as to where Dr. First is headed over the next few years, 3 years, 5 years?
So I think the era, and I probably would have given a very similar answer even 2-3 years ago, but I think the era of EMRs as owning the totality of the experience is coming to an end. And so EMRs should be, rightfully so, treated and viewed more like a platform. So your EMR becomes your, you know, let's face it, EMRs are really good at capturing data to support billing, to support business. They're transactional systems. As much as we want to say that they've grown, that at the underneath of it all, they're still transactional systems. And a lot of that has to do with the way providers and systems are reimbursed. You know, you can't blame the EMR for playing the game that was put in front of them. That being said, if you view EMRs as platforms rather than the end all be all, now you can sort of imagine this ecosystem of applications interacting with the platform, much like an app store, much like your experience on iOS or Mac or Windows. You know, you don't look to Mac to solve all of your word processing, PowerPoint, calendar needs. You know, they have a solution, but maybe you need something different. Go to the app store and get it. So I think Dr. First is gonna continue to thrive in that space because of that history of 2 decades with EMRs, with relationship building. And I think we have something unique in that we are stitching together things that are previously not traditionally together. And one of the things that we've been doing for probably the last 2-3 years is with our relationships with payers, we're able to bring the payer experience into the patient and provider experience. So it's no longer this black box as to what the patient is going to pay. So we can tell a patient, you know, at the moment of writing a prescription, well, this one's going to be $4 copay, but this one over here is $2 copay, or this one needs a prior auth. You know, do you want us to go ahead and get that started now? And that's because of relationships with payers. So until the payment system changes completely, they are still a huge piece of this. And so why not bring them into the fold? So I think it's only going to get stronger over the next 5 years. As you see more and more folks push into this app space.
Yeah, great, thank you. So if our listeners wanted to learn a little bit more about Dr. First or contact you guys, how would they go about that?
Yeah, you know, the website is a great starting place, drfirst.com. I am easily accessible on social media, whether it's LinkedIn or Twitter. In fact, my Twitter handle is Colin_Bannis. I love social media. You can email me. But yeah, the second you make a first touch with us, we are going to get right back with you because we think we have something to bring to the table.
Before we sign off, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I think if you haven't heard of us yet, you're gonna. And I think this is a great place, a great start. If you're just now getting into it, maybe telehealth is your first foray into the Dr. First Healthyverse. But if you take a look around, there is a lot there. There are a lot of solutions, And I bet you dollars to donuts, there are solutions that can help you that you don't even realize you might need help with.
Thanks so much. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, and look forward to watching you all grow and learning more about Dr. First moving forward. So thanks so much, Colin. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.